This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownlee and Chimdi Chekwa. We have a great show for you guys tonight. Man, it's going to be fun. We got some interesting stuff to talk about, but I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of feeling a little buzzed up about it, man. Let's start off with the sponsors, yeah. Chim. You to kick us off with that.
Let's give a shout out to our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAB, Believe, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
And once again, if you have any issues, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER to assist 24/7 line, especially in the state of Ohio. Have any problems getting out of control, feel free to reach out. But I got to say one more thing about that promo, man. That's a great promo, man. 50% off your first deposit, man. You got to make that deposit as big as possible, man. So, yeah, interesting stuff there, man. But like I said, we're not here to talk about the sponsors. We're here to speak about Ohio State football and what's going on in the news, the buzz around Ohio. The buzz around Buckeye Nation. First thing, it's the summer. So right now, things are a little different, right? We got recruitment news. Just kind of break here. Not break, but to kind of discuss. First thing, big man commits to Ohio State. Justin Scott, a five-star defensive tackle out of Chicago, Illinois. Huge pickup. Huge pickup for Ohio State here when you're looking at where their class ranks and where they have their five stars at. But I think the biggest thing about Justin Scott's commitment is Michigan really wanted this guy, and I think they kind of thought they had him in the bag. So that's a big win.
Yeah, you talked about it a while back. I remember us talking about the D-line and the defense in general. You mentioned that we need more of those big guys up front, some of those big guys to plug holes, take on double teams, all those things. That we've had some pass rushers and whatnot. We've got to continue to beef up that D-line. But, yeah, when it comes down to it, man, it's a two-team race. In the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. There's some other teams out there that can sneak in here and there. But what it comes down to is a two-team race, man. And it starts from the beginning. It starts with the recruiting. Right? It's not just the outcome of the game in November or whatever, but it starts now winning every single day. And this is a huge, huge win when it comes to doing that. So shout out to Ohio State for continuing to get the guys in, man. So yeah, that was a big one for sure.
Yes, Coach Johnson, once again, working this magic. He committed.
They've been trying to kick Coach Johnson out, man. They said he's
wrong. I don't want to hear the blasphemy about Coach Johnson and all these guys he's turning out. But, I mean, when it came down to it, the guy committed. He said, look, I've been looking at these Ohio State guys, the success that they've been having in the NFL, the success they've been having on the college level. I want to be part of that. I want to be coached by that guy, Coach Johnson, to learn some of those sweet pass rush moves that get you the big bucks. So Justin Scott is on his way.
Can we shout out the collectives as well? You know, who is it? The Cardell, Schottenstein, the Foundation.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys got to be getting some types of commitments when it comes to the brand. So.
Yeah, right. And it makes sense. I mean, that's what we live in now. We keep talking about this NIL, and it's funny because a lot of this stuff happens. But it's not news, right? It's like, you know, it got signs, and you don't know exactly what was communicated to the kid, right? But you know, if it's out there, it only makes sense if you're a top tier guy, especially in the region, right? You're not just going to your dream school.
Yep.
You know, you're kind of phoning those phone calls to see exactly what could you be about. So yeah, like you say, shout out to the foundation, man. Like, you know, they had to do something to kind of make that happen. We had to talk about a guy on also recruiting news. We lost a guy. I ain't gonna say we lost a guy. It's not like he transferred or anything like that. But we had a linebacker out of California. I'm a butcher his name. But I'm going to go Kingston Villamau Asai, four-star linebacker out of California. Ohio State was – I think he was down to three schools. Like Ohio State, can't say the other school. But he ended up going to Notre Dame, picking Notre Dame over Ohio State. And it kind of had – this happened a couple of days ago. People are a little buzzed up about it. Like I said, I think I stayed on the show before. I'm not a huge – believer in tracking where the high school kid go. I believe once you come to the school, you get developed, you get coached up, and make you a player from there. We already have a couple guys committed in the linebacker class. We have Garrett Stover, which is Cade Stover's cousin, Ohio kid, committed to play that inside linebacker position. Also, we have Peyton Pierce out of the state of Texas, who's obviously coming from the state of Texas, a highly recruited player who chose to come to Ohio State to be a part of our defense. So I'm not too much about it, but I guess, you know, you start hearing that buzz, like, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I feel like sometimes the hype around it that is generated by the player, you know, the player has two or three schools, they're posting on social, everybody's all these. I think the third team may have been USC, but you have three essentially Big Ten schools, right? Big Ten West, right? and the two top schools trying to get the same player. And I think that anticipation builds up, and it's like, oh, you know, you have these crystal balls. This guy, we think he's going to Ohio State. We think he's going to whatever. And then when you don't get him, it's like this big letdown. And when it comes down to it, man, I think you hit it on the head with we have two linebackers in the class already. We have some high-level defensive recruits, and there's more to come. I have suspicions that, you know, a cornerback out of Ohio, out of Springfield, is probably going to commit here as well.
Aaron Scott. Yeah. We got 5 days to his commitment day, July 30th. So, yeah.
So, hopeful for that. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you mentioned it all the time, there's a lot of guys who weren't the four-star, five-star that were developed at Ohio State and had great careers, great college careers, great NFL careers. So, yeah, I mean, you want to get everybody. But the reality is you're not. And you got to go back and look at the class. Do we have a good class? And do they continue to bring guys in? And I think Ohio State is doing – I think they're right on schedule.
Sure. Yeah. And no, let's not skip over that fact about these four or five. I'm not going to guarantee. But for a lot of our listeners out there, your favorite Buckeye probably was not, you know, the biggest recruit. All right? And you start thinking about guys like – I know if you think about linebacker, you think about James Laurinaitis, you know, being a three-star at Minnesota. Not a huge recruit, but obviously came here and is a fantastic football player. We're talking about Malcolm Jenkins, who's probably arguably, I don't know, we had to see, maybe a Hall of Fame career in the NFL, an All-American at Ohio State, three-star recruit out of New Jersey. So a lot of guys are developed. Like, I mean, it's a list of guys. But a lot of your favorite guy, you know, we just mentioned Stover, who's going to be a lot of people's favorite Buckeye currently on the team. Not a big recruit, right? But we know a guy who got there, could play ball, could play football, and make plays for Ohio State. So, you know, though the recruiting is, you know, we're just saying you win with people, but at Ohio State, we expect you to come, develop, learn the system. And then, you know, if the coach got the guy they feel good about, then that's all that really matters to me. And once again, we have some linebackers that's committed, that's with us here. Also have to mention, though, like, you know, for this class, you know, this just kind of came out, I believe, earlier today, but it's like they're in the transfer portal again, right? There's a kid out of a linebacker out of the Ohio, Nigel Glover, who's a four-star Ohio player. He is scheduled for a visit this weekend. So he is leaving Northwestern. Obviously, they just had trauma with their coach, fired their coach, and due to that, jumped right into the transfer portal. I think he have basically his full eligibility. Yeah. Correct if I'm correct to that. So and so Ohio State's recruiting this guy, you know, once again doing their due diligence in the transfer portal. So that's huge. But while we're on the subject, we kinda have to speak about this. And obviously this is not Ohio State news, rather, but this is Big Ten news. Northwestern had to fire their long term coach. I think he's been coaching there since like 2006. So what is that? I'm bad at math right now. What is that? Close to 20 years, 17 years?
Yeah, 17.
17 years coaching at least. Actually, All-American at Northwestern. I think he was All-American at Northwestern back when Northwestern really didn't have too many All-Americans. Coach Pat Fitzgerald is terminated from Northwestern basically due to some hazing allegations that was taking place in the program. The president first came out, said we'll do a 2-week unpaid in the off season. So it was like, oh, this is must not be much there. He put out a statement, said, like, we're gonna reconsider that. And then next thing you know, Coach Fitzgerald is fired and terminated from the program. So obviously that's huge for the Big Ten, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Like, what do you think about Coach Fitzgerald first? And then secondly, the state of their program. That they lose a guy like
that. Yeah, I think it's tough, man. First, I want to shout out Nigel Glover. I think he's a great young prospect. Got to meet him a couple times. Was excited to hear that he's taking a visit to Ohio State. So I'm fingers crossed, hoping that he commits. But yeah, what's going on with Northwestern is crazy. I mean, Fitzgerald's been the head coach there since our freshman year playing at Ohio State. And really since I've actually ever paid attention to Northwestern, to be honest, right? So when I think Northwestern, the first thing I think of is him, right?
Right.
And him not being there kind of feels weird because it's like, okay, who are they now? What is their identity? But it's tough. I think it's tough being you get paid a lot of money, but it's tough being a head coach in college because you have guys who are still young, growing into becoming men, doing stuff that kids do or whatever. And the reality is you don't have what they expect from a head coach in terms of eyes and ears everywhere. Like, they don't got it. They don't have it. So maybe he knew, maybe he didn't, but you can tell by the way the firing or the step down, whatever you want to call it, was handled, that nobody wanted him gone except the guys who reported, what happened. And it's a tough situation all around because, whatever happened is unfortunate. Probably shouldn't have happened. You don't know the details of everything. Whenever they do an investigation, they leave him with something. You ever seen that Jamie Foxx, Denzel meme?
I'm from the projects or something. I'm from the projects. Listen, I'm leaving here with something. Right.
Third-party investigator that they pay so much money to do this work, that person is leaving with something. And they left this time with Fitzgerald's job. So it's going to be a new era. And a lot of guys jumping the transfer portal who are going to leave, who are decent, solid players.
Decent players, yeah, like Glover, and hopefully Ohio State can land them. But it's weird because obviously I'm a Big Ten guy, right? I'm from Ohio, love the Big Ten. Obviously, I'm gonna say you love the Big Ten now, but you grew up in New Orleans, yeah. Played your high school football in Florida, so you had a different light on things. But I'm a Big Ten guy through and through. That's who I grew up watching. That's where my love and heart has always been. And Coach Fitzgerald is a Big Ten guy. And I feel like the job he was doing at Northwestern was essentially it's a top tier. He was doing a top tier job. I mean, you're in the, like you say, it's two headed race basically every year between Michigan and Ohio State, and then you got Penn State out east, and they always have a pretty dominant team. And then if you start looking at creeping west in the Big Ten, you always got Wisconsin up there, and they're usually the dominant figure when it comes to that. But at Northwestern, always, I'm not gonna say always, but basically every 2 to 3 years had just a very competitive team that won a lot of games that you might and at the end of the year you look at their record and you kind of like surprised, like, oh wow, Northwestern won this many games.
Because
that's just the culture that Coach Fitzgerald had up there. He was doing a great job at developing guys. Like I say, not getting the national recruits, right? Northwestern is kind of in the Big Ten and in the Midwest, it's kind of like an Ivy League school, right? You got a lot of smart kids that go to Northwestern, so not really known so much on the athletic side. But he had a great culture when he was developing guys. If he had a solid quarterback, if he got a solid running back, and his offensive defensive line play was always well coached, and they would just kind of find a way to stay themselves competitive in games. But, in this time and era, like you say, you just kind of has to be careful. Like you say, with the investigator, I think the official word from the investigator, like, we cannot prove that Coach Fitzgerald knew that this stuff was going on, but it seemed that it's likely that he might have known. Like, that's kind of what it is, right? They're like, you can't prove it, but likely. Yeah. And essentially, when it comes down to the hazing, they start saying that some of the situation that was taking place was sexual, kind of in nature, and like I said, you can read into that a ton of different ways. Obviously, unless you was there, then you would know. But other than that, us not being there, we can't say exactly what was taking place in the program. But it seemed like it was kind of going off of camp, and some things was kind of happening. Then the guy makes some allegations that Coach Fitzgerald claimed he didn't know, but he had a certain clap or something he'd do when a guy make a mistake, and then that kind of told guys to put this guy on the board that he's now a part of this group that had to go through this process or whatever that process was. So it's like, some serious allegations. On my mind, I would guess I would like to know a little bit more exactly what was taking place before you fire a guy. But the lawsuits are like kind of flying in, right? Yeah. The players, lawsuits flying in from the players, former players, lawsuit from Coach Fitzgerald saying I was fired improperly. And I was scrolling through social media the other day, and I kid you not, I'm not joking. Scrolling through social media, I actually sent it to like my brother or something. I had an ad on there, like, did you play football for Northwestern? Like, think this week to be part of the, you know, I'd be receiving conversation. I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, this thing just kind of jumped, and people are all over it. So it's funny, but you know how, you know, phones listen to your conversation. Yeah. But that came up when I shared, like, man, this is funny, man. But when it comes down to it, I believe the school probably was thinking like summer like this. Like, this is the money side of this thing is going to kind of. Kind of play out.
Did you consider going to Northwestern? Wasn't that like one of
the man? Yes, man. I did. I took a visit there, man. So coming out, now I'm blank. I'm sorry. I'm rest his soul. But I'm blanking on the coach name. But before that, they had a pretty solid coach.
Yeah.
Once again, it was kind of like Fitzgerald, where this team was pretty competitive. Every couple of years, they win 8-9 games. And I took official visit there. Took my official visit to Northwestern. Remember me and my uncle went. My uncle was a I'm gonna say intelligent man, you know, kind of, you know, read books and kind of things of that nature. He was kind of pushing, like, hey, well, maybe I know you love Ohio State and you're Ohio guy, but you know, maybe you should kind of consider taking a visit to a school, you know, that's a little bit known, a little bit more for the academics. So yeah. I did take my visit there.
Did you get hazed a little bit when you was out there?
Nah, man, no hazing for me, man, no hazing for me, but I'm gonna say I didn't. Like I said, I honestly, by no means, I just really did not fit. Like, the guys there was just much different for me. Let's put it like that. I don't know. I could go into it in detail, but I don't know if it's the proper space for it. But at the time, for a kid coming out of Cleveland, Glenville, going to Northwestern was just like just too much of a culture shock. And, so I decided that wasn't for me. I had to offer from my dream school. So, you know, I didn't really consider it. But it was nice to kind of see the program and things of that nature. But, you know, I always say my uncle was trying to, he wanted me to be involved with that, man. He was trying to set me up, man.
I wonder where Fitzgerald lands, given that he slid away without the investigator being able to say he for sure knew about what was going on. So he got a little bit of relief at the end where he can still walk away and say, look, I ain't know. You know what I'm saying? Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He probably, he's from Northwestern. He went to Northwestern. He coached forever. He probably knew what was going on, but he probably didn't know the extent to it. This is one thing about hazing, man. One thing about hazing, what you think is happening, you don't really know the extent to what guys are doing. It only takes a few crazy guys to take it too far, for real.
Yeah, and then, right, again, like I said, that's the problem with hazing in general, and why, you know, especially here, I feel like you only really hear hazing situations usually when it comes to colleges, you know, frat sororities type of deal, and sporting events and things of that nature. But the problem with hazing in general is just like kind of progressively gets worse each year. Exactly. It gets a little bit worse, right? Like, so if my freshman year, they did XYZ to me. Now that I'm a junior, I'm going to do XYZ plus one to the next guy. And then that guy gets to be a junior, and then like it just kind of gets worse and worse and worse. So I don't know what to, once again, they said it was sexual. That's what they kept kind of saying with the hazing.
It wasn't always sexual in nature, man.
Yeah, right, right. I probably started off being like something that was generally funny, and I was like, this is kind of getting kind of weird, man. And at the end of it, coach's job. But I don't know. Like you say, Fitzgerald would do well, right? He had a decent contract with Northwestern. I'm sure he's going to work something out where he received, if not all, most of his compensation from that. And I don't know. Like you say, him being a Northwestern guy, might be a little bit tough to coach on the college level. He probably had to go on to the NFL and do some work there. But financially, I think he'd be fine. But obviously, you know, I'm sure he loved going to his alma mater every day, working there and things of that nature. Yeah. But so we'll see, man. I mean, obviously, you know, you got to be careful with the hazing, man, especially in these times, man. But, yeah, man, best of luck to those guys, anyone that's involved. Hopefully everyone is doing okay or seeking the help that's needed to kind of get themselves together through this situation. Because some of this stuff could be traumatizing, man. It could be, you know, we kind of talk about it kind of lightly right now because, you know, we're just doing a podcast, you know, friends talking and talking about Ohio State and talking about football. But sometimes certain things happen in certain situations, especially like, you know, in a situation like in college football, when you are you know, you're doing your best. Like, right? I mean, sometimes some people, you know, could say you get in a situation and, oh, you didn't take it that serious, or, you know, you could have done more. But most guys are, like, doing the best that they can. They're trying to focus to their best ability. They're trying to put their very best foot forward. So when someone is taking advantage of you in that situation, once again, you're trying to put that best foot forward. And for someone at the end of it to be laughing at you, kind of making a mockery of you, it could be traumatizing. So hopefully, you know, if the guys were involved, they need that help. They, you know, they're in the right space that they could receive it. But yeah. So, you know, this, I guess, you know, look over that situation. And hopefully everything will work out for Northwestern. I feel in the long run, but it will cost them probably some money and some counseling and obviously a huge change to the program regarding that, man. But speaking of violations, man, and things happening to people and Coach Fitzgerald losing his job, they're not the only Big Ten team.
No, man.
There's other teams in the conference that are not playing by the rules and not doing things right and doing things to the best of their nature, man. Essentially, when it comes down to it, these guys are somewhat cheating, man. This is speaking frank about it. But in our segment that I like to call keeping the eye on the rivalry, keeping our eye on the team up north, Michigan program, Jim Harbaugh, news broke earlier today that he's most likely facing a suspension. It kept on out four games, most likely forcing a four-game suspension due to essentially his program breaking rules and not doing things in the right manner. We got several recruitment violations. Some teams have an analyst on their team. They're supposed to, like, you know, kind of maybe give suggestions to the coaches and things of that nature. Their analyst was found to be doing coaching duties. That's, you know, against the rules. Essentially, you're allowed to have certain amount of coaches. They have analysts and roles. You pay them this money, and they're on the field doing coaching duties as well. They was found to be doing that, which is a rule violation. Obviously, there was some of the stuff goes back to COVID, reaching out to guys when there was cold periods and things of that nature. So a couple years ago. But to me, we kind of debated on this before the show started, but it was found that some of the coaches had taping more or less, or had a Zoom connect on the players working out in the off season when there's several dead periods in college football, when you're not allowed to really be critiquing your guys or coaching your guys at the time, but it's found that they had cameras really, you know, watching their position players more or less performing their workouts. And coach, and I guess those are the violations, but the issue for Jim Harbaugh is he lied to the NCAA about those situations taking place. And it seemed like, I read an article, it seemed like he lied a couple times. He finally came clean. So they're looking at the four games. But when I look into it, they say basically, like, almost clear as day, like, if it's a level one violation, which is like the most severe violation when it comes to the NCAA, you're looking at usually a six-game suspension. So I don't understand how, you know, that things are weighed differently there. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, I don't really like the fact. I mean, I know we felt a little different about it, but I don't like the fact that he was taping guys in doing off-season workouts, man. I don't like that, man.
I mean, as a player, I don't like it. But, if we keep it real, coaches are bending the rules and getting around these rules all the time. When we did off-season – see, I was a player who always understood people. I didn't talk a whole lot, but I understood people. You know what I'm saying? So when we had, like, organized summer workouts and the seniors are organizing these workouts and, you know, the strength staff is able to be around a little bit, like, look, I'm not naive, man. I know the coaches are organizing these workouts. I know that some way, somehow, they know who's doing what. When somebody doesn't show up to this voluntary off-season workout that there shouldn't be no coaches present, I know for a fact they got a list back to who didn't show up. I know that they're getting the ideas and they're somehow, some way, they got eyes on the players. So I guess, you know, Jim Harbaugh and them, they was a little bit more blatant about it. Like, we're actually gonna put you on the video. hey, go ahead, call us in. When y'all start this workout, call us in. And they probably was yelling through the Zoom call. Like,
get out your breath.
I would turn my camera off.
No, man. And to me, like, so it seemed like you said, they was all recording some of those off-season workouts. Looked like they also maybe record some stuff that was taking place in the weight room. And to me, like, you know, you have a period of time to evaluate your players. And like you say, the strength coaches are around so they can report on things. But essentially, that's kind of, you know, it's a little, you know, it's work, you know, it's not concrete. It's not watching the guy. It's kind of like, you know, word to mouth type of situation. So maybe the strength coaches kind of feel this way. But when the coach see the guy, he's kind of, you know, this way. And when it comes down to it, now if you're watching it, you know, I get a period of time to kind of, you know, work on my craft a little bit, but also could be a student athlete a little bit, right? That's what's in the rule books, right? That's what I have this time to myself. They made this rule a reason, right? Because it's a rule for a reason.
What is student athlete?
Man, you know what I'm student talking about, athlete? Man. You got athlete, student.
Athlete, when you play Division I college football, you are an athlete first. You are a student second. And evidence by the way these coaches is breaking rules, right? They breaking rules all from recruiting. Start recruiting. We not supposed to text this guy right now. I'm gonna go ahead and send him this text. The crazy thing about a text message is that it's on record that you sent the text. Like it's filed. It's like if we want to find out you sent the text, we could go back to the records. And it's there. So that means they really just did not care about the rules. I'm going to go ahead and send this text. I'm not supposed to.
It's Michigan. We're not going to really say that they was capable of knowing the rules due to maybe some, you know, mental fortitude up there. You never know. But, you know, I don't think it's really fair, though, to start evaluating guys on a time where it's not really the season, right? So I'm just trying to maybe get through there. Maybe I had a rough day. Maybe I had a had to pull all nighter for this exam or something like that. I'm not having my best day today. And instead of me just kind of being able to kind of go out, maybe just kind of get the job done for the day to get me some rest, I'm being essentially evaluated by my coach, which matters obviously the most when it comes to it in the situation of me playing. I'm being evaluated at this time. And it's just like, well, look, I didn't know I was being evaluated. I guess the article doesn't say if the players knew or not, to be frank. It really doesn't say. So you don't know if a guy was just being all of a sudden being scrutinized. He don't really understand why this coach is kind of cussing him out. He's like, I don't know. I need to step up in workouts. Like I'm at the workout. Like, you know, maybe I don't like leg day. Like, so I'm kind of chilling when we're doing the squats and I kind of ramp up for bench day or something of the sort. And I'm being evaluated on that where I'm just really, you know, just kind of focused on myself and all this additional pressure could be coming in on me due to this. Yeah. I'm thinking in my head, well, this is not the time for me to be evaluated on this.
I hear you on that, but I counter with the fact that this is what's always done. Like, this is what is always done. I would say some schools are a little bit more doing it more aggressively and openly and blatantly than others, but coaches are evaluating. Like, as a player, I never really felt comfortable if I walked in the facility and was doing something. Like, I felt like I was being watched. Like, somebody's watching me. I don't know that person over there. They might work for the coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's this random kid in here? That might be a coach's son. Like, it's just one of those things. And if you go to the SEC, man, Ole Miss, you think Ole Miss is following all these rules with Lane Kiffin? You think Florida, Auburn, all these schools? These are places where football is a religion. Like, people wake up and they pray to the god of football. Like, when they eat dinner at night, they're praying that the football gods bless their food. Like,
who's the god of football? The John Madden?
No, for real though. But like, coaches across the nation are breaking these rules. I think. It's good that there's rules in place. It's good that there's a consequence, but if you think of a Jim Harbaugh and what he thinks is necessary to beat Ohio State, like let's keep it real. It may change, you know, because they're neck and neck in recruiting now and all that stuff. But Ohio State is the more talented football team. We've been a more talented football team since I've been at Ohio State. That's how it's been. And from his mindset, every single thing matters. And this was our, you know, our conversation when we talked about Gene mentioning that, you know, it was just one game. Right? Mm-hmm. I understand what he was trying to say, but on the other side, every single thing matters. And they trying to get every little edge that they can. And to the point where they got the kids on Microsoft Teams logging in to video before they start their stretch on their own time at home, man. It's crazy.
You know, I mean, it's just a lot, man. Like I said, I don't think it's, you know, once again, like I was saying earlier, you know, most guys are, you know, when it's their time, most guys are not taking this stuff lightly. So, you know, when they have a chance to put their best foot forward, you know, be ready to put your best foot forward.
Yeah.
And I know everybody would say, well, it's football. You know, you should be your best foot forward every day. Like, come on, man. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that in your job. It doesn't work like that in my job. It didn't work like that playing little league sports. It don't work like that playing professional sports. It don't work like that playing collegiate sports. When it comes down to it, some days you're just not your best self. All right. And obviously, you know, we put a lot on these kids. You know, when stuff happens, especially now in the social media world, and the NIL, you know, a guy go out there and not performing, like, well, what do you get paid? You know, all this kind of jokes and stuff. It's like you're playing with people. And now on top of that, when he should have a time to just kind of sigh.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, work on certain things that he feel he needs to be working on. Maybe, you know, take it, you know, relax a little bit for himself and mental fortitude and not be so keen and so locked in. You're getting, like you said, you got the coach yelling through the computer. Get out your back. Why are you telling your stands? You're late. You know, he got this extra pressure. He being coached, essentially. You could turn that to anything. All right. Like, those rules are in place. They kind of keep guys from being overworked, right?
Yeah, when it comes to that, good.
Like, we don't want these guys having these practices when it's not practice. Everybody get the same amount of practice when camp starts before the first game. And this stuff is ran by seniors. Like, we used to have senior drills, and you know, when we was juniors and seniors, we participated in set up stuff and basically ran the drills that was taught to us by when we was young, and stuff that we wanted, our coach knew that was essentially we worked on a daily basis. But, you know, it was up to us to do it, right? And it was usually light. It was fun. We worked on certain things. We used to do one-on-ones. No pads, you know, nothing like that. But just work out your steps so you can see your craft. But, you know, it was done in a very lightful, respectful manner. There was never a time when I was an older guy. So when I was younger, obviously, I don't know what was being said to the coaches about me, right? But I assume it was good, positive things. I'm trying my best to learn and be a better player. But when I was older, coach never came up to me and was like, hey, what are the younger guys doing? How do the younger guys are showing up for senior? Like, it was none of that conversation because it wasn't in the rules. And it was up to us to kind of be if you're a leader and you're getting this out of your players, this is what you're getting. And it's not really between us and the coach. Like, that's the guy develop how you develop right
now. Because on offense, y'all was laid back. Y'all was laid back on offense. On defense, however, we did go back and talk to the coach. Now, I think not to that extent, though. It was more of, you know, how's Trav doing? How's, you know, what's he called? How's he getting out in and out of his break? Is he doing? It was more of, and it may have been that way because, you know, as a corner, I wasn't gonna sell nobody out if they was young.
Right.
Even if he ain't show up, I'm not about to go back and say, hey, he didn't show up to this workout.
Because you're the senior leader, and you could have that conversation. Not a coach watching it on camera. It's a big difference, man.
Right.
It's a big difference, man.
Yeah,
you can protect the guy.
Yeah, but I don't know. Right? I don't know what the coach already knew. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm telling them, but I don't know what he already knew. He probably knew some other stuff that he wasn't willing to ask me. Because to be honest, if it was something that I feel like crossed the line, I wasn't going to tell him anyway. So,
But maybe he knew. Maybe he didn't, though, Tim. I mean, like, you know, I mean, obviously, like you say. I know guys said at the back, right? Guys, you know, but maybe he didn't. Maybe they forgot. Maybe whoever was giving the report forgot to talk about this guy, man.
And they know, man.
I don't know, man.
They know. Some of
it's not
coaches,
fair, man.
Some of these coaches got their office overlooking the field. So when you're supposed to be doing training with no coaches around, all they got to do is open up their blinds, peek through their blinds, and they can see every practice. I remember going to a visit and literally a coach joking about how he could still see everything. So, I mean, it's competitive, but there has to be a limit somewhere. You made a good point in that you have to stop it. Otherwise, they're going to overwork you. And the reality is there's pressure to overwork the player. And the fans and, like, everybody else don't it's not gonna feel bad for you because like this ain't this what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be the first guy in and the last guy out. It's like, dang, how does that play out? If I'm the first guy in, the last guy out, and then somebody tries to beat me in, and then be the last guy out, and then somebody tries to beat him in, at some point, we just all going to be in the facility at 1 a.m.
Right.
And leave it at midnight.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got on Instagram, man. I think he played football for Alabama. Oh, I'm blanking on the school, but it's literally 2 a.m. And he like recording, he like TikTok video. He recorded himself going to the facility. Doing drills, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, this was like being a D1 football player and going to the facility. I'm like, bro, no, it's not, bro. You like, science says you need your rest. Right, like, that was science.
Sleep. Why don't we ever elevate sleep as an important part of being successful? Football beats up the body, and the best way to recover from your body getting beat up is getting the most amount of sleep as you can. But no, we want to talk
getting about getting off your feet.
Getting off your feet.
But, that's crazy, man. But when it comes down to it, though, really when it comes down to it, Michigan is cheating, right? On numerous levels.
That's really what
they're cheating. They're cheating in recruiting and rigging their guys in. They're cheating on handling their guys and putting extra pressure on them. And then they're also cheating with having extra coaches. And I know what that analyst role, like, I don't know what the rules are. Analysts, obviously, they're not allowed to coach because you only allowed to have a certain amount of coaches. But man, you paying analysts, man. We don't even know what that even looks like, right? You paying anybody the analyst, you could have an analyst per game, and all these guys are essentially running stuff, man. And but when it came down to it, it's admitted, right, that Coach Harbaugh lied to the NCAA. Basically, he misled the NCAA in their investigation when it came to these violations. And just so happens, we happen to know a coach who essentially. The last thing he did for Ohio State when it came to coaching was, oh, it came out that he misled the NCAA, and due to that, he was terminated. I think he technically stepped down.
It led to him getting four-star, you know, being the one who has to take the blame, and it really is similar to the Northwestern situation. It's like, you know, the media frenzy and all this stuff, the violations have become too big to where the coach has to go, right? We don't want the leadership, we don't want you to go, but you have to go because somebody has to go, right? And it's unfortunate because if you look at this through the lens of today's NIL, the infractions in general just aren't that big of a deal. Like, you got guys getting $1 million in college, and all these guys sold some of their stuff and got some tattoos. Like, man, it's just unfortunate that that's the case. And somehow Harbaugh, in a similar situation, pretty much doing what he wants, lying about it, is just going to get a 4-game suspension. And the crazy thing about the 4-game is more like a 4-game vacation because, you know, they don't really have tough games in those first four. And they're playing at home. Their first game on the road, he technically would be back for going to, I think, Lincoln, Nebraska to go play there. So it's kind of like, it's not official yet, but it seems like he's not going to get a long suspension. He's also not going to get one that's severely going to impact their team, in my opinion, based on the first 4 years.
No, I totally agree. Also, I didn't say Coach's name for guys who's not aware. Coach Jim Tressel, our coach, you know, I guess we got to account for some guys who may be newer to Ohio State football. He was terminated. Well, he was sentenced to terminate. He stepped down from his position after it was found that he had misled the NCAA into an investigation that they were pursuing regarding some, like Chim said, tattoo situation, the call tattoo gate, but also it kind of came down to some guys selling some of their items, some of the stuff that they achieved at Ohio State for funds, right? Selling it for funds, things of that nature. But like you say, with NIL, man, just like you say, it's just funny, man. Like stuff. Just
one more thing about
stuff. It's almost like you didn't even notice the situation was taking place for real until it came out.
It's crazy. The other thing about it, though, is it's not even just that the infraction. When you look back at it now, it seems like it was nothing. The other piece about it is that it was Tressel, and his reputation precedes him. It's like you're talking about a guy who, if you had a representative at the time of college football, a college coach should be, that would be the guy in terms of doing things the right way, the way he treats his players, the way he tries to develop and help his players outside of the sport. It's like, man, it just seems, it's one thing if the guy had a reputation of prior a history of a, you know, a bunch of violations and stuff. And then this was like the last straw, right?
Right.
But it was essentially kind of the first major thing. And it's like, man, it's just crazy how how you can be here in every way, shape, or form, from winning to the way you carry your organization and everything. And then in a moment, we have an investigator come in and everything falls to here. The investigator comes and they got to leave with something. They got to say, like, stuff is crazy, man. This guy sold a jersey and things. It's just Ohio State's out of control out here, man. It's crazy.
It's weird, man. It's definitely a weird situation, man. But like I said, I mean, Michigan would get what's coming to him. Obviously, they're not going to suspend him for the, you know, whatever happens, right? They're talking four games. Whoever they do four, they do six, they do less. It really doesn't matter. When we play him in November, that's what matters. He would be there for that game. That would matter. And Ohio State ought to be ready for that game so we can kind of get things right to ship more or less and get things back going in our favor. But that's our show for today. I want to shout out once again to Bet Online. I feel like we had some very interesting, some different topics. Like I said, we got 5 days in the Aaron Scott Jr., what you want to call it?